Christianity is not a life of struggle. That's why God has given us his grace, so that we enjoy a free flow of his kingdom.
Join Prophet Simon Thomas of Glory Carriers Ministry International as he brings you the divine word of God in its simplicity.
All right. Are you ready for the word? Let's read together. I want to read, "Beloved, while I was diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, and I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all delivered to saints." So our dear brother, that man of God and saint here, Jude, said he wanted to write to them concerning salvation, another topic, but he felt the need. There was a pressing in his spirit to write to the end that the people of God will begin to contend for the faith. Instead of writing, not like the first service, I wanted to start talking about something, but I deviated at the beginning. Can you remember? And I told you I was very sure God was speaking to some people. And you guys get what I'm trying to say? One of our very serious members in this church and very, very wonderful partner in this church currently today, I remember how he got changed. We're teaching on a Sunday, and I was speaking about respect just before the service, respect. And I said how that we should learn to respect our parents. And I now added how that God did not say we should respect our fathers when they only behave well. He told us to respect them entirely. Are we together? So sometimes they may not act rightly, and we're not saying, the Bible is not saying that you should follow the direction, you know, they are giving you that is wrong. The Bible did not say that. He said beyond all your mistakes and etc., you should still honor them. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? So even though they are done doing one or two bad things, you know, that's for some that probably may do it, the Bible said after everything, still greet them, "Good morning, sir." Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Still honor them, still respect them, still cook for them and the lives of it. And he, after the first service, he ran to my office because he has been beefing his father for a long time. He was keeping malice with his dad and told me he got convicted during the sermon and he wants to make things right. And you know, he's one of our very serious members today. Hallelujah to Jesus. So what if I did not deviate? Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? And I kept on teaching, because what has the topic for the day had to do with teaching people how to honor their parents? But it just came to my heart. Like it came to my heart in the first service today, and it's coming to my heart, and the man of God Jude is speaking about it. He said he wanted to talk about the topic salvation. He wanted to teach them about salvation, but there was a need in his spirit. He found it as a necessity in his spirit to rather tell them, steer them up to contend for the faith. Probably they didn't know that that's a possibility in God, to contend for the faith. In current days, the people that do this call themselves, even though I believe that they are not supposed to, just, you know, all to what they stand for is not all that it is to, for one to be contending for the faith, but they call themselves the apologetics folks. Have you heard of that before? They call them the apologetics. So what they do is that they try to contend for the faith in the area they understand and represent Christianity well, to prove the existence of Christianity, to prove that it's right, and etc. Do you understand me? So here is Jude wanting to write on salvation, but rather saying that the people should contend for the faith. Hallelujah to Jesus. Amen. This heat is really worrying you. Hallelujah to Jesus. But he was telling them to contend for the faith. He said, contend for the faith. There's need. Tell somebody, contend for the faith. The word contend simply means to fight. The same word that Paul used for Timothy when he told him to fight a good fight of faith. Are we together? So as Christians, we ought to contend for the faith. We know what is right. Alright? And we have to stand with what is right. And I said something, I don't know if some of you understood me in the first service. I said, the way you are seated today, some of you feeling so super ordinary. That's how Paul used to feel many years ago before God started using him. Peter started feeling before God, started using him. Remember, we even spoke about somebody in scripture. Was it Gideon? Last service, was it Gideon? How that he was in the field trying to cultivate his crops and etc. And the angel of the Lord called forth out his name and he spoke. The Bible said, the angel of the Lord said, thou mighty man of valor. He was doubting that description. He didn't know that it was himself. And after the angel of the Lord was doing everything, he said, do something to prove to me that I'm really called. And he did it. But the first thing is that God altered the definition he had about himself. He said, you are not a weak person. Gideon actually said these words. He said, I'm from the weakest tribe and I'm the weakest of the weakest tribe. How beautiful is our God? He took the weakest of the weakest and made him a savior for the nation. Now listen, it is not because Gideon was called to be the wicked of the wicked. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? That was not it. But listen very, very attentively. It was Gideon that described himself to be the weakest of the weakest. Firstly, the people agreed that they were the weakest, not because God called them the weakest, his tribe. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Gideon said, amongst all of us, I think I'm the weakest. But in God's own database, Gideon was not supposed to be the weakest. The tribe was not supposed to be the weakest. Say, I'm not weak. I'm strong in the Lord and the power of his might. So the word of God is the true identity about ourselves. You are not weak, you are strong. You are not defined by your last mistake. Yes, God doesn't like the mistake, but that's not you. Are we together? You know, this camera, people are playing with this camera. I think there's need for me to contend for the fate of this camera. Camera people, you've been bending with this camera too much. It's over 2 million plus. I'm contending for the camera. Don't be bending too much before people will fall. Before you see us rushing the camera more than souls, it will not be nice. Hallelujah to Jesus. Souls is number one, right? But less so and camera not fall, isn't it? To be better. Hallelujah to Jesus. Say, I'm not the weakest. And you know, there is this some sort of blackmail, emotional blackmail, that some preachers do to young people. I see it on Facebook. If I will be responding to every post on Facebook, I'll be a very stupid person. You even look like a jobless preacher. There are a lot of anointings on Facebook. Just this morning when I was trying to see how the live stream is going, you know, see church while I was in the office, I saw a post, you know, just came on. I saw a post. This, is it Alison? There's this man that talks about relationships. Is it Alison? Huh? Are you aware? Do you know the person I'm talking about? What was the name, please? Alison, right? Something like that. That has a lot of hair. Okay. He wrote something concerning relationship, and a dear lady screenshotted the post and said something negating the idea he gave. Not because, of course, he's beyond negation if he was saying the wrong thing, but I was surprised because what he said was not the wrong thing. He said, okay, you are in the house with your husband and there is your sister is in the house and you finish eating, right? And when you are done eating, you leave your husband's place on the table, alright? And you expect your sister to respect your husband. He does the carrying of the plate back to the kitchen every time, and you guys are there. Some sort of. And she screenshotted the post and said, and so I'm wondering this kind of Asian mentality. If your wife is not around, okay, leave the plate there now. Blah, 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 blah. I just looked at her and I know she's just acting according to her age. She's just talking according to her age. You know, there's a case I was handling about a young lady. These two people are together. They have a child. And the young lady had not finished enjoying life. That's my own perspective. She felt like she got into marriage too early. She had not finished enjoying life. To me, that's how I see it. So she started giving this man a lot of problem. to a point that she told him that she will kill him if he sleeps one night. The man could not sleep. He was actually scared. Because she said, if you close your eye, you will not wake up. Close your eye and see. How many of you close your eye when they told you will not wake up? So he was awake. It was true. True life story. Treating him with even death. You know, and at a point in the relationship, she would even be doing some kind of crazy. I think she had other persons she was still seeing and stuff like that. And the man reported the case to me, and we affirmed some of these things, and we wanted to judge. And even in the office, I saw how she was still being her age. You know, when a lady wants to, is being defensive. Sir, he's looking like a good man. Sir, I know him. Oh, blah, 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 blah. Even him. Blah, blah, blah. You know, I was just looking and smiling. She was yet very young. And I said to her, I said, can you finish this thing you have started? Simple question. If they leave you, can you finish it? You want to enjoy life. When you get to like 35, your brain will not calm down. You start be looking for that the road to back to your husband's house and your baby. Because you are still young now. How old are you? She said 27. And I laugh. I said, well, it's their age. Gen trouble. And now, to cut the long story short, I don't know, some sort of, she now go back to her sense like the prodigal son, not so long from now. And she started sending messages to the guy who was not replying. The guy had moved on. Collected his child, moved on with his life. I counseled him to move on. Don't kill yourself. He took the child to the grandma. And he had moved on with his life. She has gone to flex. And she now started sending message of apology to the elder brothers of the sibling, saying she was a child, she was lost, now she's found, and things like that. And I was just, he told me, the pastor, me, my mind, I've gone. No. Of course, it's not my responsibility to bring the mind back. Because, you know, young men, a young man, I'll be wondering, for me, that went to, what would men have done to her? After, men don't used to think of that prodigal, they don't like that prodigal son. That's why there's no prodigal daughter, it's prodigal son. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Look at how girls are looking at me. Did you read the story of the prodigal daughter? It's prodigal son. Are we together? And this is not an affirmation for men to misbehave. You too, as a woman, if you misbehave, if you don't want to collect it, don't collect. It's not by force. A pastor does not have the right to say you must collect him back. Mm-mm. If I haven't tried that, I'm disrespecting the man. So what Anand did, the technology idea is, I said, this apology is really strong. It's sincere. In Amboni says, sir, that's our business. I say, yeah, actually, I didn't want to talk anything that would make him offended. But the point is that she has now come back to her senses. The father advised her, Mba. Everybody advised her, Mba. She had friends. They want to go and do rime. They want to go and play. Now, I don't know what caught her brain. Boom. It's like the knot. They've tied it back. She's apologizing. Sometimes people can be just funny like that. Hallelujah to Jesus. Can't you be crazy? Very young. So you see, when I saw the post she made, you carried somebody who is known popular, because I think that guy has been around for a long time. I can't really remember, but as far as I can remember, I think I've been seeing his post on relationship. You just came around. I'm trying to balance something, so follow me carefully. You came around not so long, you become popular, and thank God you're popular through Facebook or whatsoever. And you take somebody who has been there for something he said that is not truly, you know, because that's not, he's not saying that women will go to hell. He just said, when your husband is done eating, clean up the table. Teach other people how to respect your husband. That's the point he's trying to make. If I'm done eating, my wife should not leave my plates for me to be kind in the presence of her younger sister. You know, for in my house, it cannot actually happen. Because it will not happen. Me, I used to talk very sharp. And thank God for the kind of wife I have. She has deep honor and respect for me. She serves me with the best plates. She carries my plate back. Are we together? So me, I don't have that problem. And if I had it, I would have spoken up. And I was just angry with the way she said, so leave the plate now. I don't know, a generation raising careless men, indisciplined men. Why is it paining ladies that men don't work? Why is it paining you people? Why is it paining you people that a man will be in the house, he's not fetching water like you? Why? That thing should not be paining you too much. Are you listening to me? I believe we should train men to be responsible. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? If I have a child, my wife should train him to be very responsible, to know how to cook, and etc. Because I know I suffered from that. As a student, one of the reasons I suffered was because I didn't know how to cook. I didn't even need that for the family. I needed that for myself. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? There are young men I saw on campus that I admired. They can cook. Have you seen a young man that can cook before? Oh, Jesus Christ. And any young man that knows how to cook, the cooking used to get to another level. When they just cook, the smell will be inviting you from wherever you are. I'm not talking about the kind of Pastor Ed's kind of cooking, though. Pastor Ed's one is decoration. He will cook, he will now mold it. You know, one day Pastor Ed came to my house and I was saying, he cooked for me so much, he now carried one plate and pressed the rice inside. The rice now became, had a shape. He now put it in my heart. I was saying, when he brought the food, he came with plenty trays and kept it. I said, I was shocked. I'd never eaten like this in my life. I said, Pastor Ed, is it for me you did this kind of thing? He said, yes. He now opened it. I said, this food is too small. I just carried the spoon, hit it, the thing just scattered. I said, but if we will scatter the thing like this, why did we need to give it a shape? And I don't like Pastor Ed's food, okay? So there are some people that like his food. I'm thinking about people that can cook, not Pastor Ed's kind of food. I'm trying to just reiterate that. The one that put all the ingredients in the whole world. They'll put Maggi, they'll put thyme. They'll put mass, they'll put acceleration, everything they'll put inside our food. I want food to be natural. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That's my kind of food. I don't want to even be seeing all of those. Just give me natural food. Red oil and one thing, and Maggi, just carry it, or red oil. Don't put plenty things. You know, Gen Z food these days. I was telling Mama Tia about Gen Z food. You see oil in one side, and the food in one side. That's Gen Z food. Have you ever eaten a Jersey food before? Oil is there. Food is here. Because when they told them to come and enter kitchen, they would do their mouth. Oh, no, no, mommy. Those days, your aunties used to wake up by 4 a.m. 4 a.m. These days, Gen Z are waking up by 12 noon. They are stretching. 12 noon. I remember those days, my mother would wake my sisters up by 5 a.m. And behind her, she said, what of Simon? What of Simon? She said, he's a man. He's a man. Carry his cloth and wash. Carry his cloth and teach you how to take care of your husband. I know some ladies don't like what my mother did. I still know how to wash my cloth, though. You people should know that. There were just some days she would tell them to wash. And I know what she was doing. She wanted to put a certain mindset in them. My in-law, her auntie, one time were talking in the house. She was telling me how that in her secondary school, the reverend sisters used to teach them how to take care of their husband. That these days they don't add it to secondary school curriculum. That they'll teach you book and teach you how to take care of your husband. That they taught them how to iron clothes. They taught them how to arrange their husband box. So they have a box in the house, they'll arrange it with food, arrange the clothes. You see them, they'll be ironing suits, they knew how to iron suits, they knew how to iron kaftan, they knew all those things in secondary school. But in our secondary school today, we are debating. We are debating who should wash plates. It's not like there are men that cannot do this thing. They can do it, but you cannot tell a man that this thing is 50-50 at the beginning. You'll be doing it with a spirit of humility, then he will join you. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Of course, I don't need a woman to help me iron my clothes, wash my clothes, because I don't even believe anybody can really wash my clothes for me very well. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? I like to do it myself. Yes, I don't believe in people washing my clothes so much. That's why when people come, anytime I wash my clothes, most people, I still find fault in my clothes. Hallelujah to Jesus. I was telling the protocol one time, I said, when I was washing my clothes myself, I've never lost, in more than 20 years or more, I've never lost my clothes. I know where my cloth is in my house. I know where every of my tie is till I started having protocols. If I say, where's my tie? I will be in the whole house. Corrid, where did you keep the other tie? Pastor Ed, where is the Corrid that carried the other day? They are describing when the thing lost. You don't even know where to start thinking. Where is that my white shirt? I think it's Corrid in Apple. He kept it in the media room. I can be that diligent with my things. I don't believe, I don't lost things. I tell you, I hardly lost something. You know, one time I was working with Pastor Egg. We went for a ministration somewhere. So, I now saw oranges. I didn't have a car that time. So, I wanted to get the oranges. I went there, we did everything. And I gave him the wallet to pay. So, he now dropped the wallet there, mistakenly. So, I told him, okay, where's my wallet? I need to take by that. He said, sir, I gave you the wallet. And I smiled. I said, you gave me wallet? Imagine you're arguing with your protocol. You did not give me wallet. I am the one that gave you wallet. No, sir, when we finish buying, then I now gave you like this. You now put it. I say, listen. I don't need to argue. As I am like this, I've never carried wallet as I have. I've never lost wallets. So I can't misplace my wallet. He was wondering what kind of a person is this that I say he can't misplace. I know myself very well. I was looking for my ATM. I told my wife, it's in my pocket. The pocket I wore on Suso Day. I just need to remember the trouser on that day. I remember I'll see the ATM card. And I went and checked the pocket the first time. I did not see. I went outside. I said, that's the pocket. I went back. I said, press it very well. I just saw the ATM card. I said, yes, I don't misplace this. When Pastor Ed went back, I said, go and check where you bought orange. The lady now said, sir, I was waiting for you to come back. You kept it here. I was at the back. I said, who kept it there? She said, him, sir. I said, say again, it's him, sir. I said, carry the wallet and come. So I don't misplace my things. I don't forget where I keep things. I know some people be saying, who does not forget in this world? I don't forget. I only remember things. Hallelujah to Jesus. So I don't forget. I only remember very, very well. In the name of Jesus. Glory to God forevermore. So you see, I am not proud to say that it is okay for men not to be doing anything. That's wrong. Men should assist their wives. There are times your wives will be tired, genuinely tired. They need assistance. They are not machines. Are we together? There are also times your wives may be pregnant. They need assistance. When my wife was pregnant, I was scared of her touching even spoon because she was doing like she would faint. I'd never seen her like that in my entire life. She would not eat food. She would not do anything. My heart was just, I even told her to go and stay with her mother. I'm sincere. I told her I would survive it. Just go and stay with your mother. Let her take care of you again. The way she took care of you when you were a child. You know, things like that. I wanted her to go to Jos. I just wanted her to leave the house and go and stay where they'll be putting food in her mouth or something. I didn't want her to do anything in the house. I didn't tell her to cook. Nothing. Are we together? The only problem she had is that she couldn't eat my food. If not, I was cooking. But she does not believe in my food. If my wife see my food there, she will change road. She does not like my food. And I can cook. I can cook what I can eat. So when I saw that young lady, some of you, if you have not seen the post, you go and see it. Don't look at it so shallow. You see, the man is actually saying that's an experienced man. In relationship, he's actually saying that when you are done eating, the goal is this: don't allow anybody disrespect your husband through your misbehavior. When your husband is done eating, learn to pack the plate and keep, so that your siblings and the other people will know that this is how you respect your husband. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? When you are done, if he goes to their house, the way you respected him in your house is the way they will respect him. She only saw packing plates. He was communicating what? Respect. She was seeing what? Packing plates. Because probably she does not pack her own husband's plate. Listen, even if you go to UK, right, and they say 50-50, we should know that in our heart it's not 50-50. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? We will say no problem. But of course, the way we have it in our tradition, we are in the world but not of the world. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? A woman is supposed to learn to respect her husband very well and to show it physically. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? You serve your husband like you're a king. Pack the plate when he's done. You are not a slave. You are a queen. That's how real queens behave. Let the queen shout amen. You should be proud to take care of your husband. In fact, the lady should be saying, hi, I will take care of my husband. Eh? My husband will enjoy. Eh? He will grow fat. Eh? Once in a while, you should measure his fatness. I know that you should improve on your cooking. Do you know what I'm trying to say? Aim it. That's if I marry that man, is on his own. Men has come. Take care of your husband. The way that if he goes outside and see anybody doing anything, to not move him. He knows his wife does better. Not that he'll go outside, somebody serve him, will say, ah, people they serve who? Kai! See how she spoke to me. See how she spoke to me so nicely. Not you. You are flinging the food. You are calling it your husband. Say, Johnson, catch. You keep food. You say, please, if you are thirsty, remove water by yourself. I'm tired. You don't keep water. Or you carry the water, you just throw it like this, catch. Serve him like a king. Serve him the way you want other people to serve him. That's what that man was saying. She was just... And you know the amazing thing? She got 2.9k likes. That's the most dangerous part of it. And guess what? 99.9% were women. I did not see one man. Maybe there are men there, but I did not see. That means women... There are a lot of women that are waiting for that door to open a long time ago. Learn to respect your husband. If not, you will suffer. We tell women these things like a joke. Until they get into marriage, disrespect that the husband showed them one color. They've never seen that color in their life. They used to see him as Prince Charming. Seeing one day that the charm will go away, then they will know. Men never forget disrespect. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? And they always remember the way you treated them. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? You see Donald as he's standing here. If there are two women, one is his spec, and one knows how to show respect. This man will marry the one that knows how to show respect. That's how focus. I'm not talking about all those mumu men. No. I'm talking about focused men. They see their spec like this, as in the spec is specking. They now see one lady that has full respect with all back. You see them, they are drawn towards that one that has respect. They'll be describing her like their spec. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? And they'll be doing everything it takes to marry that one. That's how a man is naturally. To a man, love is respect. Love is not, I love you, Donald. I will die for you, Donald. That's not love to them. Send all the love message, right? Carry all the flower and come and give them. They are not moved. In fact, they may eat the flower if you do so with itself. What moves men is respect. The way you talk to them. The way you honor them. And for somebody already talking like that, there's going to be a problem. So the balance I want to put is this. I'm not saying she's a bad person, but that was a wrong perspective that some of these Christian ladies have. They think, since they are learning from the Western world, everything they do, they should copy. No. No. Why do you think if when you start getting to that age of marriage, there's a way your mother begins to train you? How many of you have observed that? In fact, she will want you to start serving your father. She wants to be teaching you certain things. You bring a man to your house, he says, my friend. She'll now draw you to the kitchen and say, she'll go and serve him. You are going, she look at the tray, she'll call you back. That's not how you arrange things. Momo girl, do this, do that, do this, remove that, clean that thing, clean the under, let that black thing not show. It's
say, "Mommy, you are doing extra. I beg, the man already loves me." You don't know what they are saying. There's a difference between love and sustaining love. They are teaching you the system that can sustain the love he has for you. Are you even getting what I'm trying to say? So at a very young age, learn these things. Now, I was going somewhere. This is not actually my destination. And when I saw that, I said, there needs to be a balance with some of these young people. They are taking things too much. All right? But also again, you cannot claim to be an elder in the faith. Are you listening to me? And do wrong things and don't expect people to talk to you wrongly. That's why the Bible teaches us to honor our parents. Then it says, parents, do not provoke your children to what? Anger. Meaning there's a possibility that the parent can what? Provoke their children to anger. If it was right for parents to provoke their children to anger, scriptures will not warn against that. But it is wrong to provoke your children to anger. When you do unnecessary things, it will steer disrespect. It will steer dishonor for you as a parent. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? And that's why Jude here is saying that, I wanted to talk to you about salvation, but the Holy Spirit is telling me to talk to you about contending for the faith. That it is not evil to contend for the faith. It's not evil. Because there are some people that will come with this emotional blackmail, trying to make you feel like that if you stand against something that is wrong, then you are disrespecting the fathers of faith. It's not true. Are you listening to me? Like this tattoo stuff now. When you speak against it, I've heard somebody who stood up and say, they are not respecting, he's not your mate. Then prove to me you are not my mate. I can't be 2 years in the faith and you are 50 years in the faith. And you think you have grown so old. And when they say defend it, you said in civilized world, that's how they behave. You did not grow from a boring Christian home. Which one is a boring Christian home? Boring Christian home that they are healing, collecting crutches from cripples. I don't know that you get what I'm trying to say. They came from boring Christian home, but they are collecting crutches. Your own, this thing is tattoo. The boring Christian home are collecting crutches from the hands of cripples, and cripples are getting healed. The boring Christian home will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Your own is civilized Christian home. Nothing about the miraculous. The only proof is tattoo. And when we talk, you say you grow, your generation of people you are sent to are the dreadlocks people and the rest. Can you imagine? And that's why one time I was speaking against these things. I said somebody stood up one time, they spoke about his dressing. You see, sometimes some people that are speaking against you, some of them have black belly. You know they call black belly. They talk against you too much. And you know that beyond this advice this person is giving me, he hates me. And you people get what I'm trying to say? There are Christians like that. They are just looking for trouble anywhere. Let them talk. I'm not advocating for such Christians. If you are like that, you should stop. And listen, if they are correcting you, if you find out that Christians like that are taking it to the extreme, don't so much take it to heart that you now say whatever they are correcting you against is the right thing. For instance, now, you did something that is wrong. Genuine Christians tell you it's wrong. Those black bellies came and told you it's wrong, you go to hell, you are a stupid person. Neglect whatever they are saying. Just focus on the fact that it is what? Wrong. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Don't get offended, because the Bible actually says harsh words stimulate anger, which is true. But refuse to be offended. And understand that the book of Proverbs is not telling you that that's how life should be. So because the book of Proverbs says harsh words stimulate anger, doesn't mean that when they speak to you harshly, then get angry. No, they are telling you that there's a possibility for somebody to get angry when you speak to him what? Harshly, but you have the fruit of the Spirit. You have patience. You have long suffering. It doesn't mean you should be angry. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? But if you allow anger to get the fair part of you, what will happen is that at the end, Satan will start convincing you that this wrong character you are doing is right. So understanding these back ends, technology in the realm of the spirit, I could discern properly when they were counseling that young man. He now started saying things at the end of everything that him is sent to the clubs. He has gone to the club. That's where God sent him to. I said, that's rubbish. God does not send anybody to clubs to go and win souls. Are you listening to me? That's why we have church. Invite them to church. Let them come the way they are. If they want to come with their club dress, no problem. I've told you before, nobody comes to this church and I'm telling them you are not dressing fine. If they have what it takes to dress fine, will they not dress fine? somebody not filled with the Holy Ghost, you want to pursue him? You can try that. When they listen to the gospel, then they are changed. So they must come the way they are. And you can say as a young man, sir, this lady see the way she's coming to church, sir. Let her go for the brothers, for the sake of the faith of the brothers. How can you be in church for 5 years? A lady comes not looking so okay yet. We are not saying that's our modus operandi in church, but she's just coming to the fold. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? She's not looking all decent. Alright? And you in church for 5 years will now fall. You were never a Christian. You should be able to bear it that day you see her and be focused and not feel any kind. Anyway, till she's converted and begin to dress decently. I don't know that you people are getting what I'm trying to explain to you. Very important. It is only when this kind of wrong dressing becomes a lifestyle that we are not comfortable with. For a while, after a while, the person is supposed to what? Change. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? But when it becomes a lifestyle, the person is comfortable with that kind of dressing for more than 3 years, then there's a problem. And the reason I put 3 years, because Jesus said to the disciples, I've been with you 3 years and you cannot do these things. So I feel like 3 years is prophetic. Are we together? So don't feel blackmailed. Somebody comes to you and say, why are you talking against this? Why are you talking against that? You are talking against blah, blah, blah. It's wrong. Walk in love. That's not walking in love. It's walking in foolishness. It's not walking in love. God invites us to contend for the faith. I was telling my wife, I like a generation of young men I'm seeing today who came from a particular clan. I'm seeing the way they are hitting. At some point, I may agree that they may be hitting unnecessarily. But it is okay that they are hitting against these wrong things. I was telling my wife. People may talk against them, but look at what is happening today. If we keep quiet, a time will come, another thing will not be a sin for a believer. It's just a matter of time. And when it comes to cases like tattoo and earrings, it's not a matter of sin or holy living. No. At this point, we're talking about maturity in the fold, in the faith. It's a matter of wisdom and foolishness. I've said it countless times here. And I explained to you how they are wise virgins and they are what? Foolish virgins. And the foolish virgins, did they suffer the consequences of their foolishness? Yes, they did. What will I lose if I look rightly for people to come to the kingdom? Who will I lose? And what would I gain if I do something that will make people not come to the kingdom? What would I gain? Do I gain anything? No. I did a tattoo on my body. People look at it and say, no, that's not the way it's supposed to be, blah, 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 blah. And they have a problem with the way with God because of my tattoo. What did I gain then? I gained people leaving God, not coming to God. What if I don't do it? Will I die? No. Will God be more glorified? Yes. So this is wisdom. Why am I putting chains on my leg? Why do I need to bow? Now, I'm called a pastor, a leader in church, but I'm thinking of bowing. I used to feel like bowing my nose. I want to put a ring in my nose. To what end? What if you are done putting the ring? Is it ring? The nose ring, yes. What if you are done? What happens then? Okay, you are done. Now, take the crown of glory for putting nose rings in. What do you gain? Rather, people begin to misunderstand church, misunderstand God because of your actions. And why will this pastor do that? Why will this leader in church do that? Is it okay for people to do that? Now, imagine we find a way to explain to them that it's not a sin. Then in our church now, we have almost all the ladies bowing their nose. Because as we allowed that, they felt like it's okay. So now we are only inviting a category of people to come and listen to this gospel. Because some people will never come to this church. But what will it take us if we say, okay, everybody don't bow your nose? It's not what necessary. Everybody will come for the sake of the gospel. They will come and listen to the gospel. That way now I'm not hindering anybody from receiving the gospel. I have a beautiful gospel. I need to teach the gospel. I know the gospel. But the thing I'm allowing in the church will not allow all the kind of people that need to listen to this gospel come. So what gain? I was talking with a friend. I said, some of these people, when you talk, they'll say you are talking against an elderly pastor or something. I said, but you see, we've even had people today in the body of Christ who have taught things and said that Paul was wrong. I said it one time to my friend. Some people even told us that Paul was wrong. They don't believe the submission of Paul in certain subjects. I said, you have the impetus to look at Paul and not believe his submission. But you feel like the person that is alive today, who does not understand the origin of the Bible, when he says something that is wrong, it is okay, you try to cover up. Then what are we going to pass to the next generation? I told my wife, I said, I want to be in heaven one day if I don't meet the powers here and see my children holding on to the truth of the gospel in the cloud of witnesses. Not foolishness on the edge. Like I said in the first service, shuru shuru ma maganani. That's an Hausan adage, meaning keeping quiet too is saying something. Keeping quiet does not make you wise. Sometimes keeping quiet makes you foolish. Lousy. It's the truth. You are seeing something that is wrong and you keep quiet because you don't want to be misunderstood. That's not brave leadership. As a leader, you must be misunderstood. If you are scared of being misunderstood, you are not a qualified leader. At some point, you make tough decisions and go back home. Some people will misunderstand you. What kind of thing is that? Why will he do that? But at the end, 2 years, 3 years later, they will understand why you had to do that. Jesus died for us many years ago. Some people became born again this year. He didn't mind explaining to them why he did that for them. But they understood it just 2:26. You see that? Is he not a wonderful God? They got to know it this year. So even if people understand our good 20 years to come, it does not matter. We are not doing it for our glory. We are doing it for the glory of God. At the end, if our good lead them to Christ, it doesn't matter. All we wanted was glory to God, not to ourselves. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So as believers, as pastors, at a certain point, we got to contend for the faith. I'm against certain kind of behavior in the church today. We read something in 1 Timothy 4, and let's read it again. It said, when we give heed to those deceiving spirits by giving heed to their doctrines, it said, the end of it is that we'll drift away from the faith. We'll drift away from the faith. He calls it doctrines of demons. He said, now the Spirit expressly says that in later times some will what? Depart from the faith. Why? Because they will give heed to what? Deceiving spirit, true what? Doctrines of demons. Meaning demons will create doctrines. And have you ever read in the Bible and tell that young man, call him to come here. You ever read in the Bible and you saw where the devil came and presented himself as a prince of darkness? Ever read? When he presented himself as a prince of darkness, he always comes as a prince of light, an angel of light. Come here and sit here. Hallelujah to Jesus. He always comes as an angel of light, present himself as an angel of light. He never comes as obvious devil for you to catch him. So if Satan wants to start now, he'll be bringing some kind of thing, saying it in a nice way that will not, like what they are saying now, to the point they open their mouth to tell us Jesus had a tattoo. Firstly, I hope you know Jesus was a Jew. There is no way, according to his culture, he could have a tattoo. And secondly, what they explain in the book of Revelation is not actually the way it is. That the tattoo was on his dress and on his tie. And the simplest question I'll ask you, did Jesus open his tie for you to see whether there's a tattoo there? It's so funny. And Jesus, he was on a vision. John was in a vision in the Isle of Patmos. And when he got to Jesus, Jesus said, how about this? Do you like it? If you know, no reasoning. I tell you the truth, such a person needs to go and sit down and learn a lot of things. It's not an insult. You need to go and sit down and let your spiritual father quarantine you for a while. Because what you have said now, I'm the one here and you people are laughing. Some people don't see it like this. So they actually thought Jesus has this thing he has said. Now there are some people thinking truly Jesus has a tattoo on his thigh. They will first go and do one on their thigh first to first prove that they are like Jesus. But the Bible says it is actually what? Doctrines of demons. Because you want to defend yourself. You are wrong and you want to defend yourself. So in trying to defend yourself, you are lying for Satan to use you very well. Even in church, if you are wrong, if you try to defend yourself, you start sounding stupid. More stupid and destructive. Instead of saying, I'm wrong, you want to defend yourself. The word of God is given for doctrine, for correction, for reproof, for instruction. You see that? At a certain point, we have to correct. We have to reproof. We have to instruct until the man of God is complete. Many wrong doctrine will make you incomplete for God to use. Incapacitated for God to use. One time I spoke about this Afro music, some sort of. Listen, I have a very good idea in music. I may not be the best singer in the whole world. I may not know everything about music, but I have a very fair good idea in music. And some sort of, I've been around the earliest days of the recent kind of music we are seeing today. And when this Afro stuff started, I remember I called the choir. I said, I'm not against Afro. But when the Afro begins to get to a certain level that is seeming, suggesting that you should be looking lawless and irresponsible, it is not the Holy Spirit that is steering that. It is another spirit. You can't claim to be a gospel artist and you sit down under the influence of the Holy Spirit and he inspires you to go and get a tattoo. He inspires you to go and bow your ears. He inspires you to go and plait your hair. Listen to me, I'm being very practical to you people. Not the Holy Spirit that we have had a long time and now. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? It's one spirit, he's not two. He has one behavior. He cannot. He said, my son, go and bow your ears for my glory. And the stupid excuse we use today is that we are sent to a particular generation. A generation that needs to be wiped up into the glory. You are sent to them. People we need to save. And how do you save them? You want to save them by looking like them? Did Jesus try to save the world by looking like the world in terms of coming to do the rubbish they are doing? No. When he saw the woman that was caught in adultery, he did not say, okay, everybody is an adulterer. Or everybody should go and do adultery. That's not what he said. He looked at them and said, he said to them, if there's anybody without sin, be the first to cast a stone. And when they were done, they left. He said, woman, where are your accusers? Then the interesting thing he said at the end, go and sin no more. You see that? Meaning I'm not affirming your sin. I didn't like it, but I don't want you to be condemned by your mistakes. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Meanwhile, go and do it what? No more. Do it no more. He's not saying that should be the way of life. Go and do it no more. And somebody said, if you are in Christ Jesus, whatever you do in the flesh does not matter. If Jesus tells us to go and do it no more, meaning he has given us the capability, the capacity to go and never do that sin. For Jesus to say, go and sin no more, it means that if that woman holds on to his word, she will never commit adultery again. She will never sin again. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That's why he said, maybe the sin she will not do is adultery, but the capacity does not cover stealing. Are you kidding me? He said, go and sin no more. Jesus tells her to go and sin no more. Meaning it is possible to go and sin no more. The believer is a saint that sins sometimes. I submit to you, it's not in the Bible. If you don't expect to live above sin forever, it will not happen. What's your expectation about life? Do you think that you are supposed to sin sometimes and not sin sometimes? Is that how you see life? If that's how you see life, so will it be. Because as a man thinketh, so. But if you see life like this, that as a born-again believer, you cannot sin. Verse 9 of 1 Corinthians 3. If you see life like this, 1 John 3:9. 1 John 5:3. The commandment of God are not burdensome. Amplified. They are not difficult to obey. If I see life like this, firstly, I'm born again, I wouldn't sin, and I'll think like this. Living for God is not difficult to obey. That's my perspective about life. Because I saw it in the Bible. If my expectation is that living for God is not difficult to obey, then it will not be like that. But if I think it will be hard, when trials come, those subject me. Why? I did not dig the ground to build my house on the rock. I didn't understand the word of God. I don't have an understanding of Jesus Christ. So I'm not on the rock. So when difficulties come in this world, don't subject me. Why I'm not on the rock? But I understand my place in Christ. And I believe you do in the name of Jesus. And so when life comes to you, you repel the wrong things in life via the knowledge of Christ Jesus. He said, bring into no effect every thought and images that seems to raise itself above the knowledge of Christ. They're bringing them into captivity of the Christ. The devil suggests an ideology, you subject it in the name of Jesus. But you see, if you don't have the knowledge of Christ, you cannot even start the fight. It is through this knowledge you war good fight of faith. He brings negating ideas, you subject it by the knowledge of Christ. The Bible calls the word of God the sword of the Spirit, through which you wage war. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? In the name of Jesus, I am not broke. In the name of Jesus, I am not addicted. I refuse to be addicted. I refuse. Hey, years ago, I remember a young man met me, said, you speak this thing like it's magic. How can you just stand up and say, I refuse to be addicted? He came with some problems. And I said, there, brother, how I got into this life was via declarations. When I caught it, I started saying it, and I was expecting life to happen for me like that. I said, I've surrendered my life to God Almighty. This is what it means. I found out that Satan has always knows how to create a weight that gets you into the sin that easily besets. So some of you, when you get offended, you do a particular sin. When you get worried, you do a particular sin. He has understood the algorithm. So he will play around, he will create a situation around you that will make you weary. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Make you to be thinking too deep, unnecessarily so deep, make you get offended. And when you go back to your house, because of the offense, you start doing that thing you are not supposed to do. I don't know that you people are getting what I'm trying to say. So I said, the reason why I said I've submitted my life to Jesus is because when I get into situations where it is suggesting that I should be offended, I allow the Spirit of God, the fruit of the Spirit to find expression. So you see, he can't get me anywhere. I don't want fight. I'm not looking for fights. I even get what I'm trying to say. I'm patient. I'm kind. One of the fruit of the Spirit is joy. When it's suggestive that I should be angry. No, I walk in joy all the days of my life. I begin, you know, that's why there's such a thing as sacrifice of praise. When praise becomes a sacrifice. Because the situation is suggesting that you should be angry. You should be worried. But you look up to heaven and start dancing. Why do you see people crying in praise? Have you seen somebody crying in praise before? I have a Father who never fails. You go and jump in the bed, the person is crying. I have a Father who never... And they are smiling and crying. They are like, why is this woman crying? That's a sacrifice of praise. The situation around that woman is not suggesting that she should worship God like that. But she is just worshiping God, proving to God that she knows that he is in charge of the situation. Even though she cannot see everything, she just knows he is in charge. So if you are like that, Satan cannot get you down. Things are not okay, you put on joy. And you know it is with joy you draw from the wells of salvation. You can't draw without joy. I remember I was talking to a lady, you know, she believes she's a prayer warrior. And one time I was telling her, I said, he said, sir, I've been praying and things are not working. I said, you think it's a joke, but until we tell you that maybe the only factor you are missing is joy. I said, I look at your face every time, you are never happy. You're happy. And I asked her, didn't I teach you how to pray? She said, you taught me how to pray. I said, have you ever seen me on a good sunny day doing like this? Have you ever seen Prophet Simon on a good afternoon looking at you and doing to prove he's spiritual? And I asked her, are you more spiritual than me? She said, no. I said, but you always frown your face like you are more spiritual. Maybe because you have seen angels. I asked her, have you seen an angel before? She said, no. I said, I've sensed many angelic visitations. I've seen many angelic visitations. Yet I still smile. If you truly know God, you see that rubbish they are doing, that they know God. That if you know God, you will just give up on yourself. If you have truly encountered God, you will give up on all of your decorums. I tell you the truth. So I told her, put on joy. Because joy proves that the Spirit is in charge. Joy is the strength of the Spirit. With joy we what? Draw from the wells of salvation. We draw from the wells of salvation. as you are finishing this service, Satan will knock on the door. Sin will knock. Same addiction. Suggesting to you to go back to that lifestyle. But you say, no. I'm a new creation. Face it. Speak to it. If you don't talk to the mountain, it will not evacuate. For it to be removed, you have to talk to it. I'm a new creation. I've been bought with a price. God's own special. It will convince you that it's a lie. That's not who you are. You keep on speaking to it. That's who I am. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. That's who I am. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Understand that you are entering into a season of fight. If you are trying to live an addiction, understand you are going to enter into a season of fight. A little season. Because you are actually struggling in that season. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? More like when you want to start an engine. The effort you use to start the engine is not the effort it you will use when the engine is about to start and even starts. As you start from the beginning, you know that grinding engine? It is tougher. With time, it becomes lighter. That's how it is. After all, the Bible told us that the things of the Spirit work out in contrary with the things of the flesh. Never be comfortable in an addiction. You are destroying yourself. You may be going older with the addiction, thinking you are being wiser, nobody has seen you. Listen, the people they caught are better than you. At least now they can repent in their shame. I tell you the truth. Caught me anywhere. You that they've not caught, you are not wiser. He that concealeth a sin is destroyed by the sin eventually. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? I heard a story of a pastor who they caught buying pornography. Years ago when it used to be these cassettes. He was in Lagos. And when he did not see any of his member around, he was asking the man to put some of the discs for him. And while the man was putting it, one of the associate pastor just saw him. He shouted his name. Brother, sister, so. He just shouted Jesus. Say, no, don't keep that nylon. Don't keep the nylon. Let me see. He opened it. Pornographic CDs. Carried him from the market straight to their pastor's. You know, I like those elders. Straight from the market, straight to the pastor's house. Pastor, this counseling, you cannot postpone it. But to so save brother so and so life. He knelt down and was crying. They invited the mother. You know those days when they do counseling, is these days that will not invite your parents. Those days you invite parents. But my mom goes, come office now. Come office. Pastor will see you. Your father will come and sit down. Your mother will sit down. You will need her in the front. Pastor is at the front. Then church elders around. And when they were done with the guy, he worked for 7 years in the church before God called him. He became one of the best pastors because they made him a pastor afterwards. You see that? If they did not catch him, probably what he's doing today, he would have not done. So every day he's saying the story how they caught him. That they catch you does not mean you are finished. It is the beginning of glory for you. Because he that conciliates a sin is destroyed by the sin. Are you getting me tonight? Don't cover it up. So understand that when you're about to leave it, there's this little season of warfare. Satan will not allow you to just go like that. You have been with him for 20 years. You think he will just want to allow you to go? There's this little season of warfare. It's a lie. He cannot go. You keep on speaking the word. Sometimes you take a little fast. And not thinking it's the fast that is taking it away. You are just taking the fast to concentrate on the word of God. And one time somebody came to me and said, sir, my stomach is biting me and I'm fighting. I'm trying to do away with something. I said, take bread. Just 2 slices of bread and tea. He says, sir, I'm still fasting. I say, yes. He say, ah. So I've not seen that type before. I said, I'm telling you a new type. When we say fast, we're not saying die. We just want you to be concentrating on God's word. Now, as I'm saying, don't mean that you now you go and say, remember that day where pastor they preach? He said, if your stomach bites you, take 2 slices of bread and tea. My stomach is biting me. I never even started, don't they bite me? One time somebody came to me, said, sir, I am having symptoms of ulcer, and you say we should fast. Can I eat any light tea? As a man, I thought Indomie should be a light tea. I said, you can take Indomie, one Indomie with just an egg. And he said, okay, sir. Sir, if I take it, I'm still fasting. I said, is Indomie food? He said, yes, sir, for me. His food. But he said, okay, no problem. So I will just be eating that one for the fast. I said, okay. When I was talking to somebody, they said, Sam, some people just eat Indomie like that, and that's how they, some ladies, that's how they survive the whole day. I said, for men, we feel like Indomie is not, you know, when you eat one Indomie, and we just feel like you just cause trouble for yourself. You are just waking up the engine, you know, like warming car. But you see, fasting is not to the end that you kill yourself. Don't do the fast like it's the fast that will stop that thing. Your faith is not on the fast. Your faith is on the word of God. The reason why you are fasting is to allow you to concentrate on the word that can change you. Don't idolize fasting. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? Yeah, some people like that too. They say they want to stop an addiction. They will pray 24 hours. It will still continue. Because they think that they will stop addiction by they are not speaking God's word. They are not speaking God's word. David said, I've put your word in my heart that I may not sin. What stopped David from sinning before new creation realities came was the fact that he would put God's word in his heart that was available for his days. I don't know why people are getting what I'm trying to say. I will be saying it. And that way David did not sin again. And I'm saying this because some people have misunderstood tongues. They think if you are supposed to pray in tongues, you should not speak God's word. You want to start praying. You did not quote any scripture. You don't even know any scripture of heart. Don't you know as you are praying, the Holy Spirit will raise scriptures from your heart? You'll be seeing them in the picture of your mind. Have you ever prayed in tongues to a point you started prophesying? Speaking English. How many of you have been there before? If you don't know scripture, the prophecy will not even be aligning well. Understand scripture. In fact, a lot of times if you want to pray, start with reading the scriptures. Don't just close your eyes and start meditating upon scriptures. Sometimes you begin to speak the scriptures. Sometimes you are speaking it is growing to melodies. You are going to get into a point where words cannot help you anymore. So you get into tongues. Don't just... Are you listening to me tonight? So that little season of warfare, like a lady that stopped smoking many years ago on campus, over 9 years of smoking, and when the Lord brought her out through the prophetic, I told her, I was real with her. I said, Satan will still come. Even though you don't feel it, Satan will still come again. And I told her, I'm ready to work with you. She will call me. Anytime she feels like smoking, she will just, prophet, I feel like smoking. I said, you will not smoke. In the name of Jesus, you are not going to smoke today. Where are you? Are you on campus? Send somebody to see her. That's how she overcame smoking. Are you listening to me? He will knock. Sometimes you wake up in the morning, you are reminded of the addiction. You miss that world. That is why you have not been productive for a long time. Time that you are supposed to use to grow in a particular something, you are using it for that. So immediately you stop that addiction, what do? Replace that character with another character. That time you are using, start studying the word. And as you study the word, start building something around your field. Why do you think that when you are very busy, you don't think of those rubbish? It is when you are less busy. Enjoy reading the Bible. Carry the Bible and read. Read it. Let it get you excited. I read about Kenyon years ago. That even when he's shaving his hair, you put scriptures. His daughter was telling us, you know, she wrote about him, that he, even when he's shaving his hair, the man that wrote New Creation Reality, he will keep scriptures by the bedroom, by the side. He'll be shaving his hair. He will read something. Then he'll be jumping. He'll be jumping. He'll be jumping. Have you read his books before? His writing is like you are reading the Bible. Before he now quotes a scripture and continue what he's writing. Such a sound man of God. Are you here tonight? Are you here, glorious men? They are glorious destiny, but I tell you, Satan will just sow one stupid seed that will keep you stuck. Keep you stuck. I'm seeing future bank managers in this place, even as women and men are going to rise from this place. Future CEOs. People who become CEOs to oil companies. We start building it. You start building it from now. Are you listening to me? Don't waste so much time on irrelevant things. Start building the foundation right now. Start building that career right now. Start learning what needs to be learned. Are you beginning? I'm trying to say, what certificates do you have? Go beyond baking and plating. You can learn other things too. Thank God you can plate. Thank God you can bake. You can make the money. But think about things that can change the world. And I'm not talking down people that plate and, you know, you get what I'm trying to say? Think about things that can change the world. Especially for women. That's what I'm focused on right now. Are you listening to me? Some of you are doctors in the making. Engineers in the making. Are you listening to me tonight? Have you pictured yourself being in charge of a firm before? A big firm, you're in charge of everything that happens there. Then you now graduated to owning your own. When you think of those things, there's a way you have to live your life now. The vision will control your everyday decision. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? You see yourself subjected. You say, I must pray today. I must pray that 2 hours. It's because of what you are seeing. I must attend the online classes for this. I must do that. I must do this. So is it for men too. Say in the name of Jesus, in 2 years, I want to learn over 3 programming languages. I want to be able to build this and build that. It starts now. Are you listening to me? It starts now. I'm not small. I cannot be small. There's no smallness in my nature. I may be walking here right now, but this is not my end. In the name of Jesus, I'm sowing the seed of greatness in my heart. That's how you talk as a child of God. Lord, I'm going to learn this because of what you have shown me. I'm going to learn this. You slept, you had a vision that you were in a company and everybody was calling you sir, ma. And you sold everything. When you woke up from the dream, you just went and played. Went to Facebook and started watching reels. God gave you a picture. You didn't take it serious. When Daniel had the vision, he continued to pray. Say, God, you showed me something. I want to understand the vision that I saw. When he pressed in God, he started understanding it. God will call you first. He will first give you an idea to call you place, to call you into the place of intimacy. So that you come and really understand everything about the vision. If you are not interested, you will not press. I believe as we go home, we are raising people with boldness. That will go back to that their dead dreams. Those dreams they had years ago. Are you listening to me? Say, God, because listen, they are not dead. God, what is the meaning of that dream? I want to understand it today. Because what I'm seeing right now, the weakest from the weakest clan like Gideon, I don't see myself getting fit. You know, I'm not seeing myself into this place you are calling me to be. Then go back and read what God told Gideon. He said, you are the one that, you are not just coming as a soldier, you are coming as, you are rising as the one that will save Israel. I prophesy you will save your family out from every issue in the name of Jesus. It is through you God will bring many into light. And it is through you God will bring many into money in the name of Jesus. So go back home and prepare. Are you listening to me? How many of you, you know, I was meditating and I was asking myself this question. Let me ask you. How many of you want to wake up one day to see that you gave your daddy's dream car? Before he died, you gave him his dream car. You built your mom her dream house. With all the sacrifices she has made, to see you glow, she should not be selling by this time of her life. She should not be doing some of these businesses she's doing. She should just be resting and she should be receiving salary. I know some people, listen, there are different kind of homes. So there are homes where the parents took care of the children. The children don't have to work. Until date, the parents are taking care of the children. They are blessed in a certain area of blessing. We thank God for them. There are some of us that we stood up. It was worth even finish everything schooling. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? And at this point, they are even expecting us to even do something for them. We're not saying we'll kill ourselves. But I believe God put us in this kind of situation for a purpose. Because of our diverse kind of destiny. I remember years ago I told myself, I said I'll give my father his dream car. I'll give my mother a dream car. I'll give my father his dream house. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? In the name of Jesus. I was saying it. And of course I'll fulfill that. I don't come to a point that I give them the rest they deserve. How many of you want to do that for your parents? So be diligent. Do you know that is very, very possible? Be what? Diligent. When you go back today, go and visit your books, visit your visions, visit your algorithms. Follow everything you have been doing. Be diligent. You shall stand before what? Kings. Are you listening to me tonight? Before we go, lastly, I told somebody that visited me during the week. He said, "Sir, what is the vision for Petra? We are trying to partner for something with the people. It's a company." And they said, "What is your vision for Petra in my house?" I said, "I don't know if you understand me, but let me tell you. I am raising a people that will change the world positively through tech. That's my vision." He says, "Sir, I thought that you want to raise people in tech so that they can have livelihood." I said, "That's just a secondary part of it. It's not a major part of it." I said, "When you raise people to just feed their stomachs, they don't give you the best in their places of work, their places of assignment. Because whatever they are doing is just to get salary and feed their stomach. Kingdom is not to the end that we eat and drink. Kingdom is righteousness, peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." So I told him, "I'm raising a people that will see beyond their stomach. They will see the positivity they can bring to the world through tech. And go beyond their stomach to even do personal project. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? And in trying to fulfill their vision, they are getting even jobs and gigs that will bless them and their generation. And that's still not their focus. They're still wanting, they want to change the world. Do you guys get what I'm trying to explain to you? That's how you should all think. Don't just be thinking in terms of doing your assignment and receiving salary jobs. Be excellent. Be excellent. You know, Sprout, somebody visited me and he said, "Sir, I observed that in my company, all of your people are very excellent." I was proud for a moment. I was excited. He said, "That's why I think people are against them." Now, that's the boss of the company. He said, "And I want to give you the applause. Your people are excellent." I said in my heart, it is the word of God that makes people excellent. If you stay with the word of God enough, if you listen to these things, you can never be the tail. You must be above. Never be beneath. This year, I want to see people rise into glory like it has never been before. Are you listening to me? There is no room for mediocrity. Tell your neighbor that. Boldly. Shout it to your neighbor's ear one more time. And don't talk like a failure. One more time, talk to your neighbor in their ears. If you are not going to be serious, tell your neighbor, "If you are not going to be serious, shift from my front, shift from my front." You got to be diligent, very diligent. Whatever thy hand findeth to do, what do you do? Let them always ask, "Did that person touch this thing? It's very excellent." Whatever you do, everybody should know that. Whenever you touch something, everybody should know that you have touched that thing. Why? The excellence. Are we together? Are we together? So that's it. Celebrate Jesus. All right, so we're going to bow our heads and pray. Just bow your heads and thank the Lord for His word.
I am sure you were blessed by these words of life and peace from Prophet Simon Thomas. Get transformed by the truth of God's Word by visiting and following our social media handles at Glory Carriers Ministry International, and get more messages at www.embassyofglory.com. Also, worship with us on Tuesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays first service by 8 a.m. and second service by 10:15 a.m. at Sheraton Hotels beside Benue State House of Assembly, Mukherjee, Benue State. God bless you.